Mr. Fidler, Real 11. We're talking about sort of the nature of fighting, you know, as you went through Germany. You said sometimes you go 9 miles, nothing happened. And other times, you were saying that the troop leaders would...
I think it was a bit of a worry. In the morning, the troop leaders used to go and get the brief from the CO of the regiment. He would then come back. He would gather his crew commander back, or troop leaders back. And we were waiting for to see who was the leading squadron. The leading squadron, we were a bit worried if we were lead squadron. If we were the lead troop, we began to get the pay parade. If we were the leading tank, it was too late for the paper. I think literally this is how we used to live. If we knew that we were going to be the lead tank. Anyway, on this particular day, we were advancing, the troop was advancing across an open field, and up in front of us there was a stand of trees, probably about 12 trees. We were the tank in front with two on their flanks and one coming up at the rear. Suspiciously, we looked at this stand of trees, couldn't see nothing. Nothing happened. Anyway, we pulled up alongside this stand. It's a brand new 75mm gun. We don't think it had even been fired. And ammunition for the gun at the side. Not a soul was there. If there'd been a gun crew there, it could have taken the troop out in a matter of seconds. I've already remembered this. Off we went anyway, the gun was left. We were told not to touch the gun in case it had been...
Booby trapped.
Anyway, on we went. another day, later on, we come across a place called Belsen. We were told that the whole regiment was told to stop, and there was an agreement, I think, between the prison authorities and us, because there was some disease that was going on in there.
Well, that's Belsen concentration camp.
Belsen concentration camp. We, I think we were held up there about 5 to 6 hours because of this problem. It was agreed that we wouldn't go in, nobody would go inside the tank until at a later, inside the camp until at a later date, because I can't remember what the disease was. Anyway, we were after 4 or 5 hours, 6 days, or it might have been 4 or 5 hours, or probably the next day, we were then told that we could push on. We then was told, the troop was then told that there was a RAF prisoner of war camp that we were to release. We went down this track. You could see that the prisoners had been partly released. They knew that we were coming. There was a big notice up there, welcome to the tanks or something like this. I can't remember what it read. We went down this lane, four of us. Troop Tom Hill coming down with us there. We get down to the prison camp, and of course we have to stop because the prisoners are coming out the gate. They clamber onto the tank. It was absolutely horrendous to see all these prisoners prisoners coming out to us. We're taken inside the camp. It's all down with barbed wire all the way around. We're taken in there, and they've got a meal of sorts that's laid out for specifically done by the prisoners. Bits and pieces, I don't mean to sit down on bits and pieces. So we all got out of the tanks and we went into their, what one would term a mess room. Tom Hill, I think he went off to with the people that were looking after the guards. So we went off in there, and then all of a sudden we heard a tank start up. So somebody said to me, "Is your tank's on moving about out there, so I rushed out there. The co-driver apparently had been asked by the prisoners, the RAF prisoners, if they would knock the old wire down. That was okay. He had no right to be in there anyway, but he did, and he done it all wrong. He went and followed the wire along instead of going over it and back and over it and knocking it down. When we got out there, the tank was absolutely all round the back sprockets, the idlers at the front, we were absolutely covered with the wire that goes round the camp. We were now, it took us, I think, about 3 to 4 hours we had to use everything to get this off the sprockets and such like. Anyway, we got it all cleared and away we went again.
What state? You said it was horrendous to the prisoners. What state were they in?
Oh, they were, they put their arms around. We couldn't move the tank because they were jumping on them because they wanted to ride on them. And they wanted to get into the turret. They wanted to get into every part of the tank, really. But they were in, one would tend to think that they knew that we were coming for the last probably 3 weeks because they were down to the guarding side of it was down to a minimum. In other words, they were more or less to do what they wanted. You know, I think the guards had probably got the wind up and they handed over the pistol. But of course, the pistols had gone a long time before us because the prisoners had took them.
So what next then? After that.
A few days later on, the troop then has been. The squadron is up on the top of a rise, and there's a anti tank gun firing across at the top of the squadron. The troop is told to cross the open field on their left. Go out in open order. There's a few trees across this, a pathway with a few trees leading across. The tank is where the shells are coming from is in front of us. We're the lead tank, two on the flank. I don't know where the fourth one was. We get down this, it's not a sunken lane, it's more of a track affair with a few trees, and we get hit by this anti-tank gun. It doesn't burst into flames, but it starts flaming, but very, very, not like the, it's not with a whoosh. So it starts to burn.
Where in the tank?
All round. It's the fire starts coming up through the, but we're all out by now. We've got out of the tank. We've been hit at the front. We get out, and then it starts to really erupt. So it starts off, the fire starts off very, very gently. With the Sherman, it would probably be an eruption. So it starts to burn.
So you evacuated as soon as you were hit?
Yeah.
Before it started to burn? And then it started to burn?
Then it starts to open.
Was anybody hurt?
No. As we get out with a machine gun from where the... obviously, they had machine guns at the where the anti-tank gun was. We're under machine gun fire. We try to get in the near the tank, to avoid this because it's burning quite fiercely now. So we can't keep too close to it. So anyway, we get our heads down. We're not going to move. We're staying where we are. We're there probably half an hour, probably a little bit more. The machine gunning is stopped, so obviously everything's clear, but we still won't move, we stay where we are. And then who should be coming down the track on his hands and knees is Tom Heald. And he's come out of a wood at the back of us. He comes down to us. We follow him up the track into the wood. We get onto a Skoka, and at the back of the squadron there's a load of 5.5s. They then had in the meantime been throwing shells in at the anti-tank gun. We then go back through the wood, clamber onto a scope car, and within a short space of time we're in another tank, again from the forward delivery squadron, and we're off again.
Now, just to tidy a couple of things up, that shell hit the front of the tank. One thing I didn't actually get from you was the first time you'd been hit by a tank ages before. Where did that shell hit you?
Well, that was in the surrey, because we were across the road and he was firing up the road, so he had to hit us in the surrey.
In the tracks or the turret or the side?
I don't know. As I say,
we never knew. Right, but so this one, you got a replacement.
The front and the side of the Comet.
That's the first. This one you did see where that hit.
Front and the front and the side.
So you got a replacement tank. I mean, how was your morale after being hit like that? I mean, did it make it worse or better? Because it had taken the shell, but how were you?
What, to get into another one just like that? Well, it was the same as the other time. It was only a matter of hours really before you were in another one. You don't set off. On the same day. In fact, I think on the Sherman we went the following day. But I think on this one, when we got on the scout car, we passed all the squadron that was still at the top there. Then they start to move out. We then go back, pick up another tank, and we then join the squadron.
Straight back
just
in.
Just like that.
And let's talk about, what was Tom Heald like? Was he a lieutenant then, or a captain?
No, he was a lieutenant. I don't think he ever became a captain.
What did you think of him? I know you know him now, but sort of, I mean then, as your troop commander.
Well, we always thought highly of him after he came down the track. I don't think there was anything outstanding about him. In fact, I often wonder whether there was anything outstanding to any of these officers, you know. I think we were mainly concerned with our own crew. I mean, you know, these are who we lived with. I think it's very difficult for me to turn around and say what would Tom Heald like as a crew commander, as a troop leader.
So to you, it was more the crew was the be a good crew was more important.
I think a good crew, yeah, and I suppose really a good troop. But I think it's very difficult to make a comment on the troop leader. I feel I also have a problem, with Steve Brownlee. I think we were more concerned with the crew, and of course we and other crew members, but I don't think we had a terrible lot to do with the troop leader himself.
Now, what about the remaining campaign? There couldn't be much left by then.
Well, I think now we're in the final stages, and their next move was Lübeck, which is on the Baltic. We had a troop, we were just tailing along by everybody else was tailing everybody else into Lübeck itself.
That was before the war.
Before VE Day. When we got there, there was prisoners streaming down from Denmark. Absolutely in their thousands, and a lot of them was Air Force personnel, and they were coming back with flying boots and flying jackets. We couldn't see this going on, so we they even had lorries loaded with all this flying gear in the backs of their lorries, and of course we went across after ourselves to the boots and
Now, which POWs? Are they British POWs or German?
Oh, German. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. These were Germans. They'd coming down from Denmark in their thousands, and literally thousands, walking.
What were they like? What was their morale like?
It couldn't have been a low ebb. They were at low ebb. Probably they were glad to see that it was finished, really.
And what about civilians, of German civilians? Would you meet them much, and what was their attitude to you at that time? I don't mean later, I mean while the war was still on.
I don't know really. I think mainly it was probably infantry could tell you more than that, because we were mainly in the tanks. If we went through a village, we would never stay in a village overnight. We would move back. We didn't really come across many civilians, not during that time.
So you didn't see them.
No, well, we saw them, but not really to speak to, because we were mainly riding,
So, what? Anything else before VE Day then? Do you recall?
No, I think we moved out of Lübeck because we were going on to Denmark. I think we moved out. I can't remember where we went to. Probably 20 miles away out of Lübeck, and that's when VE Day.
Was there any celebrations, and how did you feel?
Well, I think we felt elated. I think, it's the finish. I don't know what my feelings were, really, because things were going very well with us towards the end. I suppose we could say there wasn't much fear of being shot up at that stage, and it. I'm not suggesting it was a holiday, but it was more a holiday now than it was when you first started or when you were halfway through.
So what happened then? Because they went to Bredstad, didn't they?
It was Bredstad. What name was it called? I don't remember now. Going or something. Yeah, I think we went there. We went there, and this is when we then gave our tanks up. We lost our tanks then. I don't know how long we were there before that they were taken from us.
Did you mind? Because it leaves you in a strange position.
Yeah, because we had nothing. Did I mind? I don't know, really, because we weren't going anywhere. We were billeted in these houses.
What were the billets like?
Good, quite good. Hadn't been knocked about. No damage to them at all. We were doing, basically, we were doing a non-fraternisation. We had this that we mustn't talk to the civilians at all. We used to go around visiting the farms around the village, collecting eggs and such like.
What were your duties meant to be?
I suppose I got to be quite honest. I can't really remember what we used to do. I can remember we had a football ground there. But I really can't.
It's a pretty blank period. There's no problem with that.
I can't really remember what happened there.
What about the black market? Were you aware of it?
Oh yes, there was a lot of black market done on the side, even though you had to do it very much on the quiet.
How did it work? Did you do any of it on a minor scale?
Yes, I think we mainly chocolate and cigarettes, really. In fact, I can't remember where it was, but I went to a German dentist. In fact, me and my mate, we both went to a German dentist, and I paid what I had done with 200 cigarettes, which would probably be very, very worth quite a lot of money in those days. So we didn't pay him a lot of money. Well, he didn't want money, he wanted cigarettes. So there were, yes, there was a lot of black market. Everybody was into it.
What about recreations for you? Because, you know, you're not many. Do you remember much? Or how you spent the day? Or was it just dull?
Well, as I say, we did have a football game. I can't, and guards, I think we... No, I got to say that I can't really remember anything about it at all.
What's the next thing you do remember then? Were you demobilised from then?
No. I then, a number of the regiment went to the second fight and fourth, the first fight and fourth one. And the reason being, because they were destined for Japan. So a big proportion of the squadron went.
You didn't, though.
Well, Tom Hill went.
No, but you didn't.
Went, well, what?
You didn't go to the first.
Yes, I went. Oh, yes, I went to the first because we went on to Churchill because they were on the flame throwing. They were on the
and where were the first?
No, I can't remember where they were.
But in Germany.
Yeah. And we were training on the Churchill. Now that would have the lousy sort of a tank that was. I didn't like that one bit.
But what didn't you like about it?
Well, I think mainly the size of it. There was a little, small, it seemed to me, a small turret on the top of a bloody great hull. Tracks that used to come up round by your ears when you were in the driving compartment. I never liked it. I think the viewing from the inside the driver's compartment was very, very limited because you were back, your tracks were so, it seemed to be about 4 foot farther than where you were in the driving. I think it was a very, very poor designed tank.
And what about the flamethrowing attachment? Did you notice it much? Or, I mean, it's not your department, you're a driver.
No, well, that applied to the co-driver because instead of having a visor there, he had a flame gun. And that used to come from the trailer that was at the back. And it used to come through through to the flame gun at the front.
It's all right. Now, how did you feel about leaving the second and going to the first, and also about this question of going to Japan? I mean,
I don't think we really wanted to leave the regiment because, you know, I've been with it for so long, but then I suppose one said to myself, well, the first can't be much different to the second. Oh yes, we know they've got different types of tanks, different type of unit altogether. And we went there, as I say, training on the Churchill, totally different.
Did you find the first different from the second?
I can't say. I really can't. And when I say I can't, I just...
You don't remember.
I can remember a photograph in front of a Churchill, but and that's when we were training on the Churchill. But I just can't.
It's all right. Were you pleased when the Japan War ended and you wouldn't have to go out, or did you not really think you ever
would? I don't think we wanted to go to Japan. Were we sorry it was over?
No, pleased.
I don't know really whether I was glad that my demob was coming up. Although there again, okay, after the VJ, then VJ day come along, and then I was then transferred to the 8th King's Irish Hussars, 8th King's Irish Hussars, I think it was. Now, when I got there...
King's Irish?
King's Irish Hussars.
And do you know where they were?
No, it was in a proper...
just in Germany
barracks, somewhere. So, yes, it was a big barracks.
So how long had you been with...
In the Munster area, I believe. I think that's where it was.
And how long had you been with the first 5 and 5 far?
I would probably think, I can't remember the time, between probably 6 months. But after leaving the second, I was then up until VJ Day with the first, and then I was transferred from there within a few weeks.
So you were only with the first, probably 6 weeks.
I think it'd be more than that. But
VJ was in August, so you were with them sometime between May and August.
As short as that, I'd have thought probably longer. But yes, okay.
If it was after VJ, yeah. VJ Day is 15th of August.
Was that when it was? Yeah, you see, I.
But sometimes.
Said to me, when would be.
I had to ask.
I wouldn't know.
So you were. You're not sure about the dates?
Not sure where I went, but I know it was a big barracks.
And how'd you.
I think it was round the Munster area. I just don't know.
In Germany. So what do you remember of them, or nothing?
Well, when I got there, they had our old Comets. And I thought, oh, blimey, this is great. So I was put straight into a tank troop. But after a couple of weeks, I got fed up with it, because all we were doing was bullshitting and bullying anyway. Everything else connected to that. Never went out on skis before, so I asked if I could go into admin, into trucks. I forget what they're called. Anyway, I went to ask if I could go into onto the lorries. And this I did, and I was. Moving displaced persons about quite a bit. So really, that's.
When were you demobilised?
January 47. I'd done pretty well 5 years.
So you were with, between them, you were with the 8th quite a while then? About a year? More than a year?
Yes, because, yes, yeah.
And when you demobilised, how did you get back into civilian life? I mean, was your job kept open for you?
Yeah, because I was on the SEB, the Electricity Board, and I then had to go back and finish my, I had to go back as an improver. I'd done, I think, 2 years as a mate. And I had to finish the apprenticeship, which was for 4 years, so I had 2 years to do as an improver when I came out.
Had the war affected you badly, one way or another, good or bad?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Not really. I think it gave me the power of good.
In what way?
And I think that I'm glad I didn't miss it. To me, there were good days and there were bad. I think probably the good days outnumbered the bad days. I think as far as I was concerned, I enjoyed being, you know, what I termed to be a very, very good regiment.
So you were proud of your regiment, the second fight?
Oh, right. Yeah, very good. Yes. The first, I don't talk about the... Although, there again, when I talk about the second, it's only to people that know what we're talking about. Yeah, I don't think you can... It's very difficult to talk to people that don't know anything about it. All right. Now, with you, I mean, you know a bit about it.
So, pride in the unit was something that was important?
Oh, yeah.
And you're still a member of the association now, yes, that's been formed.
Yes, but what I do wish, though, that I had contacted, or I hadn't lost touch with the regiment in the early days. Some of them, Len Harkins, he used to go back there. But of course, I didn't know Len Harkins when he left the regiment, same with Len Hutchins. But I really feel that that's where I missed out. And I think I missed out with the British Legion. I didn't join early enough. you know, I suppose I said to myself, well, I don't want to know, but I think that was a wrong decision, because I did want to know. When the 50th anniversary came round, it was all, everybody was bubbling, and I thought to myself, well, I suppose we've all got to start bubbling, we've got to get in